Welcome to the Unit Care Services podcast, discussions of interest to unit owners and managers. Could your property do with a lick of paint? Well, there's a lot to think about before you dive into the paint pot. Here's Unit Care Managing Director, Gordon Russell. Gordon Russell, Managing Director of Unit Care. Painting. What does a unit owner need to think about when it comes to painting?
Is it their responsibility or is it the body corporate's? So if you're in a strata title group, then all the exterior timbers are the corporation's. If you put a pergola up, though, that's yours. But the body of the building that's on the plan, the external timbers, metalwork, etc., is the corporation's to repaint. In community titles, where you have one building on one lot of land, then all the painting and maintenance for that building is actually the owner's.
And how often should we be thinking about painting?
Well, paint manufacturers promise paint will last almost forever these days, you know, 10 years or something or other. I'm more about seven in my experience. If you're down by the beach, probably every three or four. One of the first things the group needs to do, though, is to get a paint specification. Because if you just ask painters to come around and give you a quote, what are they quoting on? Have they got a clear schedule of exactly what you want done, how it's to be prepared, how many coats of paint, all those sorts of things? If you haven't got a paint specification from Dulux or Solver, Wattle, and often these are free, if you haven't got a paint specification, you need to get one. Otherwise, it won't be apples for apples. And you could be in a case where the painter does the job, you're not happy with it, but it's actually you haven't got a specification. You can't hold them to account. So first the paint specification, I guess before that, the decision to repaint. Now the group that I live in, some of the timbers are at risk, some of them are actually rotting, and the group needs to be painted this year. Otherwise you're going to lose timbers. So we're getting a paint specification at the moment, and then the management committee will have a look at the paint specification, go around the buildings and say, oh look, we don't need to do the gates, or in this case we don't need to do the windows because they were painted a couple of years ago, so we don't have to worry about those. And then take anything else off that, you know, underside of the carports probably don't need doing. That's about it. The rest does. And then having decided on what the specification is, it needs to go out to tender. And this is a two-story group that we're in at the moment. So we need a painter who's got scaffolding, because they won't do it off ladders anymore. Fair enough. So they need scaffolding. If you have a painter who doesn't have scaffolding, it costs quite a lot to get it in. So scaffolding is really important. So when you're choosing painters, choose similar painters. One guy operating on his own versus a team of five with scaffolding is going to be a very different cost. We'd be tempted here anyway to go for a team that's geared up for two-story buildings. Much better approach. So you get the quotes. The usual rule of thumb is to get a minimum of three. But of course, before that, one of the, or what's likely to happen, as has happened in some cases, is the place has been the same colour for, you know, 20 years or something. And somebody in the group will say, well, how about we modernise the appearance, you know, get a colour change and everything else. But you've already got the quotes based on the existing colours. We're very careful doing this. If you're going to change the colours, I mean, some groups are still mission brown, so I understand why they want to do that. If you want to change the colours, you'll need a colour scheme. And sometimes the paint manufacturers can provide those as well. Or even the painter could provide it. So you might have a preferred painter out of the quotes, and then you might say to them, well, we're looking at a colour change, can you give us some ideas? But it is going to crank the cost up, because sometimes they'll need to do a lot more prep and a lot more undercoating in order to get the colour change, depends how dramatic it is. So if you're going from a dark colour to a light colour, that's going to be a bit of a challenge. So after you've got all that sorted out, the group needs to decide which quote to accept. And then if it hasn't got the money, it needs to raise that money. Now, one of the techniques we use here is the money might not all be there. Maybe you've got half of it and the rest is coming in over the next few months. Advise the painter, because to wait until you've actually got all the money before you send the work order out means that you could end up, you know, waiting many months more for the painter to turn up. The painter may have a gap in their workload and say, look, I know you haven't got all the money there, but I'm happy to start. Give them the choice to start. And then they start and then they progress payments. And hopefully by the time they've finished, all the money's there. If it's not, they've taken the risk and the money will come in over the coming month or two. We found that to be a useful technique.
And all this, of course, will be in the fact sheet?
In the fact sheet, Paul.
Okay, so that's the outside of the building. Does that also apply to common areas?
If there's a lobby to the group, then that applies to that as well. So any common areas that the group effectively owns, if they've got a gazebo with a barbecue in it, that would come under that. In most groups, that's not the case. The external timbers of the units get done, any metalwork that needs doing, perhaps fences, bits and pieces like that. Inside the actual units, though, is the owner's responsibility to decorate and paint.
And the carte blanche there, you can do what you want in your own place?
The Strata Tiles Act says the corporation's got no say over internal decoration. We did have a hypothetical at the town hall back in the 90s. In this particular hypothetical, somebody put up a swastika in the window. So that was deemed actually to be offensive. So decoration can go so far, but swastikas in windows is not okay.
What about in a townhouse type situation? You've got your own little courtyard. So the front of your particular townhouse, is that personal property or is that common property?
There are boundaries. Usually they're described on the plan. So effectively, I own the space in my front yard, but actually the masonry fence and the walls of the property are actually, the walls of the building are actually a common property. So I actually own an envelope of space in the front yard.
So therefore, even though you own the exterior of your townhouse, the colour scheme and the painting is all controlled by the body corporate?
It is.
What if then, in those kind of situations, and let's take yours for example, you decide unilaterally your property needs to be painted and the others don't?
We've had this a number of times. An owner agitates to get the place painted. And guess what? They're going to put it on the market. They don't tell you that, but they're going to put it on the market. They want the place to look good for selling. They can't convince the rest of the owners. And we've had cases where owners have done that work, regardless of the corporation. And in one case, Metal Eaves, they painted the whole lot. 6 months later, the paint fell off after the new owner had taken occupation. And the corporation continues to be responsible for that. So it has to clean all that rubbish paint off, which is more work than the original, and then repaint it. So it's really risky to let owners do painting of common property, because in the end, the corporation is liable for it. So if they do the work, if they're really keen to do the work, sometimes it's out of goodwill, other times it's because they want to maximise their sale price and they haven't told you they're going to sell up. And if the paint falls off, everybody's liable, except the owner who's left. So I would advise corporations not to allow it, or if they do allow it, then there has to be a paint specification and somebody has to check they do the work properly.
So what would you do if you're in a body corporate situation and you see someone painting their own property without permission?
Well, it's not their property. It's the corporation's property.
Can you actually step in and say, stop that?
Well, at law, they're not entitled to do it, yes. I mean, you want to be careful about it. I mean, if it's some old guy who's retired and got some time on his hand and is doing a good job, that's fine. But nonetheless, you tell him you have to apply to the corporation for approval to this, and have you got a paint specification, and what paints are you using, and how well are you preparing it? I mean, I've seen jobs where people paint over cobwebs on windowsills, and you can see the cobwebs underneath. Or they don't rub back, what was the old enamel paints where they've pockmarked and whatever else, they haven't rubbed them back to a nice clean flat surface, and they paint over the top of it, and you just get, you know, all the damage underneath shows through. So yes, you'd want to be diplomatic about it. What really gives me the chagrin is those people who don't tell you they're going to sell, and all they're aiming for is to maximise their dollar, and tough luck to the corporation if the paint falls off later on. So yes, people shouldn't be doing work on common property unless they've got approval.
Is there any regularity when we should maybe have a six-month, a yearly inspection by the body corporate of exterior painted surfaces to decide whether or not it's time for painting?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Perhaps a walk around when you have the annual general meeting is a good idea. But of course, some meetings happen in winter and it's dark. The groups know when the last paint job was. So my suspicion is once you get to about 5 years, you should be having a look around. Of course, rotting timbers, balconies, all sorts of things like that need an eye to what rot looks like or where a timber is potentially going to be lost. So they could go for a wander around, take some photographs, One of the challenges with groups maintaining the properties is that we now have mostly investors in groups. So an awful lot of people don't live there who have an investment in the group. So in my group here, we've got two owner-occupiers who actually live there out of the six. That's not uncommon now. The problem with that is that the investor's out of sight, out of mind. And so they might be interstate. Some of them are overseas. So they just assume somebody's looking after it, keeping an eye on it, or they don't care. And that's a real challenge. Having somebody at the group who'll actually keep an eye on it and tell you if there's problems, and especially when you get a multi-story building, you know, two or three stories, it's a bit hard to pick the damage or the potential risks. You need a trained eye for it. So perhaps it might pay to engage one of those contractors who inspect buildings for sales, perhaps come out every couple of years and do a whip round and see what they can find on the outside. I think that might be a better approach than individuals remembering to do so. And in lots of cases, there's only one or two people on the property or owner-occupiers.
And just to wrap up, is there a better time of the year to paint?
Summer's awful. I've watched paint jobs done in summer and then you come back and they're all blistered, especially dark paints. So the sun attacks it, really, it dries too quick, so it doesn't actually key into the original surface. And then you get great blisters all over the place and they're a mess to get rid of and clean up and repaint. So spring and autumn, I'd recommend, is the best time. You don't want to be doing it in winter if you've got lots of rain. I've seen paint dripping off a building, not good. So spring and autumn are good times to paint.
Gordon Russell, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Paul.
As always, there's a fact sheet available on the Unit Care Services website that's linked to this podcast, as well as many other podcasts and fact sheets that may be of interest to you. So have a look around. Until next time, I'm Paul Willis. Stay safe.